This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, entertainment, and much more for the entire region. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well. And before we get to the end of this call, please do not ask me how bad we're going to lose to Alabama.
All right. That's the last we'll mention of it. How's that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about some political fundraising. The second quarter, was it?
Yes.
Third quarter. That's right, of course. The third quarter political fundraising numbers for Arkansas races are in. And spoiler alert, some people can raise a lot of money.
Yeah. Wow. And that some people's name is Mike Ross.
$1.1 million in a quarter, and that's the most by a gubernatorial candidate in Arkansas history for a quarter?
Yes, and it's the second consecutive quarter in which he set a record for fundraising. And, you know, what's interesting about that is, as we had, you know, some of us, goofy journalists who love this political stuff, had talked to a lot of these politicos, these analysts, these inside guys who said, you know, Ross probably won't have a good quarter. And we, for listeners who don't know, Ross is running for governor, the Democratic side, against probably Mr. Asa Hutchinson. But a lot of these folks would say Ross is probably not going to have a good quarter because he had to call in a lot of favors in that second quarter because he wanted to raise a lot of money and scare everybody else off. And so that we were kind of being pitched a message of low expectations. Well, if another record quarter for Ross is a bad quarter, I feel sorry for Asa Hutchinson because he's just going to, you know, Ross now has a little over $3 million in the bank. Asa has a little over $1 million. I know some politicos are saying that Ross has a bigger or higher burn rate. He's going to have more money to pitch his message because it's going to be tougher for a Democrat to win. I'm not sure I buy all that, but it was a good quarter for him. And for a lesser known person, Tommy Maul, who's running for the 4th District, he had a surprise quarter. He outpaced Bruce Westerman, who's the Arkansas House Majority Leader, more than doubled his take. So that's going to turn out to be an interesting race.
What do you think was the more surprising figure in that 4th District race, that Tommy Maul raised so much as sort of this surprise candidate, or is it that Bruce Westerman didn't raise more?
Well, I'd hate to pick because I was surprised with both of those. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that Westerman is kind of the establishment leader. And we talked to Janine Perry, the political science professor there at the University of Arkansas, and she said somewhat the same thing, that maybe Westerman and the establishment just kind of figured he was going to be the guy, and this Tommy Maul just comes out of nowhere. I'll be surprised if Westerman doesn't raise a heck of a lot more money in the next quarter, which is going to be tough, by the way, because it's a holiday quarter, and it's really just tough getting people tracked down in a non-holiday period. But with Thanksgiving and Christmas and then the New Year, I mean, if you don't get people lined up and get checks by mid-November, it's going to be hard to get it. And so the fourth quarter reports are typically not stellar reports, but yeah, Maul. Now, the thing with Maul, a lot of his money didn't come from the 4th District. A lot of it come from outside the district, and I think Westerman and others will try to ding him on that.
You mentioned Mike Ross being able to raise a lot of money. Both of the candidates for Senate, Mark Pryor running for re-election, he's being challenged by Tom Cotton, the sitting congressman who wants to be in the Senate. They both raised more than $1 million in the quarter.
Yeah, that's not too shabby, and that's going to be... that race is going to we're going to start seeing more of these big quarters. In fact, next year, the election year, which is 2014, these reports will come out monthly. So we may not see as much in the report, but we're going to begin to see a lot of money roll in, and it's going to be interesting, especially in that Senate race, to see where it comes from. Pryor is certainly an advantage. He's had years in the Senate. Years to build up a war chest. He has a little over almost $4.5 million, I think, in cash on hand. I think Cotton, if memory serves, is around between $1.5 and $2 million cash on hand. And Cotton did outraise him, outraised Pryor in the quarter, not by much, but for a congressman, first term congressman to come in and outraise, two term U.S. senator, that's not a good sign for the Pryor camp. That being said, Senator Pryor still has a lot of money in the bank.
Well, and as you mentioned with Mike Ross, the gubernatorial candidate, he's raised a lot. He's also spent a lot already.
Yes, he has. I mean, he's – and again, a lot of that, I think, goes to the fact he's really wanted to keep – you know, he didn't want any other candidates showing up. He didn't want a primary race. You know, Bill Halter eventually dropped out. But he's, you know, he's doing a lot to shore up that base. And one of the things that in business, you know, we often hear you have to spend money to make money. Well, to some extent, that's the same in politics. You know, you really want to get your name ID. You want to get some momentum built up, because as people start conducting these polls about who are you going to vote for or recognition, well, if you can get some good poll results come in where you're really strong, that gives you more of an ability to get on the phones and go talk to folks and say, look, I'm neck and neck, or I'm winning this. You need to come on board and support my campaign. So there's some of that strategy involved in Ross spending that money also.
Well, on the complete other side of the financial spectrum from political fundraising, SNAP benefits will be reduced. Part of this 2009 increase, well, not part of it, the 2009 increase in SNAP benefits will sunset on November 1st. We had a story about it yesterday on Ozarks at Large. Walmart was also talking about it this week.
Yes, and rightfully so. I mean, they stand to lose quite a bit of money, and these cuts come from, I think, as you mentioned, the stimulus. They were never long-term. It's not like they're cutting something back. They're cutting back to what the rates were prior to 2009, because in 2009 it was essentially a $45 billion surplus put in the program. I think for an average family, I think the number was around 40. It was an extra $40 a month.
About $10. Yes, about $10 per person
per
in the
person,
household.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but in Arkansas, the estimate is about $52 million that will come out. And so you throw $52 million in, you know, add a multiplier to that, and that's could be several hundred million, and that does hit Walmart. And, you know, and you know, Walmart, I think, with groceries, about $151 billion for Walmart. And, you know, and they've talked about how this will have an effect. I mean, it cuts into, I think Bill Simon talked about, you have young mothers buying milk and other key staples, and they've been using a lot of these SNAP funds to help supplement that. So where it really hurts Walmart is their grocery business is already, it's been tough. I mean, it's a low margin business, and this is not going to help. I think it's something around $4 billion. I'm trying to find the number, but it was something like $4 billion. They estimate they could pull out of the of sales for the rest of the year. So it's not an insignificant number. It's not tied. We've had some emails come in here and say, yeah, look, here's another effect of the shutdown. It's not tied to that. This has always been scheduled to go off the books on November 1st.
Well, and of course, the longer term concern is what the farm bill will mean for SNAP benefits. That could be another reduction in the future.
Right. Yes, and that could end up being another sticking point also on a shutdown. You know, I noticed on CNBC this morning they had already started the clock counting down to the next potential federal shutdown.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Well, in the midst of all that shutdown, now it's over. Of course, the Arkansas legislature reconvening.
Right, short, and we hope it's short. They're supposed to meet today, which Thursday, Friday, and then end up Saturday. Hopefully, they can find a fix. They have a what they say is a good plan lined up, and BB has always said that if he was not going to call a session unless a majority of members in the House and in the Senate had a clear plan and majority supported that plan. So essentially what they're trying to do is find a way to plug in about $53 million shortfall to the public school teacher health insurance fund. It funds about 47,000 teachers and school personnel in the state. And what those folks were facing were premium increases that were rising over 50% in some cases. Higher deductibles, fewer offerings, so they were paying a lot more and getting a lot less. And it was just an actuarial problem. I mean, over time, you know, if you don't increase premiums or you don't maintain the system, you're going to have these one-time surprises. And I think Beebe has been Governor Beebe has been frustrated because this problem, they've known that this is coming for years, and no one stopped to fix it. And then, you know, then it kind of got through on his shoulders. But hopefully we'll get this. Hopefully we'll get this fixed, a short-term fix with some steps to that will lead to a long-term fix.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers stories that don't even revolve around money for the entire region. He does not make predictions about Arkansas-Alabama football games in 2015.
Not this week.
Not this week. Michael, thanks so much.
All right. Good talking to you.